Welcome back to Trust the Process, podcast where we talk about new home construction, the housing market, and everything in between. Today, we're going to dive into the topic of third-party inspections. Michael will go into a lot more detail, but I kind of wanted to just give a quick reference for what that means so that we have sort of a starting point or a place that we can pivot from for the rest of the discussion. So we've got first-party inspections, which is typically the builder. So that, in our case, is a trust GC. Second-party inspections would often be the buyer. Most of our homes start without a buyer, so that buyer then is our owner, and so then that inspection is done by our owner. At some point, the buyer comes into play. We'll do on our, on a true custom, one of our build-to-suit homes, obviously there's a buyer in place. But and then third party is the one we're going to talk about today. So third party inspections really are the big one. They're the ones that we are relying on a third party entity. So it's not anybody who's affiliated with us as a builder or any builder. They don't have any monetary ties to the company or any bias. They're simply rating the work that's being done based on code, and they're measuring the quality of the work against building standards. So it's completely unbiased, just compliant. So there are different points throughout the build process, and Michael's going to touch on this a little more, but where everything kind of comes to a screeching halt until we get that inspection. So we can't build any further until that inspection is completed, and it's often a municipality, be it the city, the county, the state, maybe it's a utility company or maybe an independent agency, but whatever it is, we can't move forward until we get that approval. Saying everything up to this point has been good, and then we move until the next threshold. So it's sort of checkpoints along the way that we're sure we're in compliance moving forward throughout the entire process, and different areas that are evaluated and different ways that they're evaluated. Inspection thresholds, if you will. So Michael, will you get into this a little bit deeper and tell us about some of the ways that this is used on our builds? And
yeah,
third-party inspectors that we're utilizing.
Yeah, I love the way that you broke it down. I think it is important to talk about primary and secondary. First.
Like, what happened to first and second?
It's a good point. I actually never stopped to consider that we are the first-party inspection.
We are. Our GC is out there walking the projects, and that happens daily. We've hired a subcontractor, even the electrician. They come in, they send, and then their foreman, their supervisor inspect it. We still go behind them and do our own first-party inspection on behalf of Trust Home Builders to confirm that we know what went and how well it was done.
And that's kind of
daily.
Yeah, that's the threshold of, do they want to get paid and do we want to pay them? So if it's good work and it's what we agreed upon, and then we're good. Let's go ahead and cut the check and move on to the next stage. And also many times it's, can we send in the next stage? The insulation company said they're done. They want to get paid, and the drywallers are right behind them. Usually there's another inspection in between the insulation and the drywall in most jurisdictions. But, let's say, all right, well, is it time to send the drywallers in? Can we send the third party inspector in, which I want to talk about a distinction between the third party and a special inspection. These are two different things, but they're both third party. So I love the idea of us, Trust Home Builders being, first party inspection. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Because we start without, like I mentioned, you're the buyer in most situations.
Then I'm the buyer, because I'm the one.
Because we don't have the home sold yet, the owner.
Right, I'm still the owner, I'm the one with the purse strings, so I'm the first party and the second party. But I agree with you, the GC and the project manager is kind of more of the first party, and I would come in as a second party inspector, technically. And now if we have a buyer, then of course through the course of the transaction / build, they're going to be in there and trying to micromanage us. It's a tale as old as time. They're always going to be in there trying to micromanage you as a builder, even though you're the expert.
They come further down the road.
Yes, exactly. Unless it's your custom, or they go to contract and they're a slab or whatever, if they're upstream, far upstream.
That's the question.
We try to keep them kind of more downstream. And then also when we sell the house, there is a second party, buyer who's, are they going to purchase the home? And they're kind of inspecting it when they view it with one of our salespeople. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of...
You'll pick the tile And then once it's in, they make sure that it's laid the way they want it, or that it is lit,
Exactly.
There's all of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's, again, we don't always have a buyer when we start, but at some point, once they get looped in, then obviously they have to stay as well.
Right. In many cases, the buyer is a tougher, they're a tougher inspector because they have their own sense of what should and shouldn't be. And we know industry standards and we know what's in the contract. And we know, I mean, we do our best to try to meet people's expectations, but ultimately they'll keep sending the food back to the kitchen if you let them. You have to at some point say, okay, this is these are industry standards. Okay, this is not, this is not a piano. This is a house that was built by hand with natural materials.
And, you know, sending the food back to the kitchen, they're just going off of their own palate. They're not the chef. They don't know.
Right. They're not classically trained.
They don't know how it should be tasting or what it's supposed to be. So while, yes, they have the biggest opinions, they're not necessarily the most valued, and they don't know industry standard, and they don't know code compliance, and they haven't been trained. So it's kind of, you can take it with a grain of salt.
As a builder, especially most of our product, luxury custom, not super $15 million luxury, but you know, 1.8 to 2.8, somewhere in that range. That's pretty custom. You know, that's pretty luxury in most markets. And we're talking four or five times the median sales price. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a certain expectation that comes along with that. So even though industry standards might govern anything from an apartment building to a $20 million house, it kind of has that gray area to say, well, what kind of builder do you want to be? So we always, you know, build above industry standards. So that being said, that kind of parlays us into the third party. So a third party inspector, I love the way you said that, they have no financial ties. They're not a principal of the contract between buyer and seller, builder, client, whatever. Third party is generally like a city jurisdiction, Department of Building and Safety, and they're kind of there to enforce and to prevent you from going on to the next step. So I mentioned briefly, you know, a minute ago that they will come by and look at the insulation before they let us drywall. You get permission to drywall. At certain steps, you get permission to wrap, meaning wrap the house on the outside. Permission to pour. Permission to insulate. That is one of them. So there's quite a few thresholds throughout the. I would say in general, the Department of Building Safety will come to our sites. If we don't have a pool also going in concurrently, probably come to our sites around 15 times if we were to pass every single inspection. In the first try, there's roughly about 15 if you count the final certificate of occupancy inspection. There's some QA that the city sends where they're checking for things like addresses. Are the addresses the same? That's not a building inspector, that's QA. A lot of times it's a third party company that's been hired. Some of these are, as you can imagine, as I'm listing them off, cash grabs, right? I mean, they really are. Some of them are just, okay, well, that keeps a QA company in business because they have to check every single rooftop. Are the addresses right? Is the driveway in? Is the pitch of the driveway? Those types of things. Gate returns are those. So third party is there to enforce code and building standards kind of that are concurrent with where the state is. But generally they're looking at what are the codes that the city follows. So if they follow International Residential Code 2021 and what's on the plans, they're checking for that. Go farther upstream, the plan checker is checking all of your architecturals and engineering to make sure you're compliant with zoning, make sure that you're following and calling out for International Building Code standards or the city building overlays. We talked about how many pages of code in an earlier episode, a staggering amount of code. So the plan checker is checking those things to make sure that you're going to build it to code so that when they fail you in the field, you can't say, well, you approved these plans and they're letting me build off of these plans. They're preventing that because then technically the city can't enforce you. If they've stamped the plans and said, yeah, these are good to build off of, and you follow those plans, you're pretty much good to go, right? So there's a lot that falls on the plan checker. Now, if it came down to something about safety or whatever, they're going to, of course, say this is obvious oversight by the plan checker. Or everything else, I mean, it's pretty much we build to the plans. There's not much you can say. So if we don't pass an inspection, it's either a really particular building inspector, like, oh, your seismic tie downs are every 18 inches and they're supposed to be every 16 inches or whatever on this particular wall. Or your shear wall supposed to have, you know, sheeting to this point and you stopped it here. So he's kind of number one, checking what's being called out on the plans. And number two, also just using his own cognitive ability, and you're not going to fight with him, even if it wasn't called out on the plans, because you're not going to win that fight. So if he says you need a retro tie down, seismic strap tie down right here, then you're going to go ahead and do it, right? So that's the biggest thorn in my side, those third party inspections. Then there's something called a special inspection, which is also a third party. So you'll retain a third party company because either the structural engineer, the civil engineer, the Department of Building and Safety at Plan Check called out a special inspector. So they're saying, you're moving too much earth to adequately compact this. We don't trust you to compact it. So we want you to retain a third party company to test the compaction. Let's say you're gonna add 5 feet of compaction. We wanna test it every foot. So every time you do it and compact it, we have to come out and you just have to, let's say it's Southwest Geo or whoever, Geotech. They're gonna come out and they're gonna have that on file to say, we checked it. We checked lift one, lift two, lift three, lift four, lift five. And they were all good, they were all compacted. And then that kind of makes its way into the file. For the
they're
permit.
They're not on site the whole time. They come in between. So we work for the day, they come, they check, or we work for the week, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it takes to your next threshold. There are some special inspections that they will watch you do it.
Yes.
Something that's really kind of really intense. Maybe if it's some sort of, usually it would be probably with grading compaction. That's what I can think of most, where you might have to hire an engineer to watch you. You know what's a good example? Screening fill. So if you have a bunch of native soil, they're going to want to watch you screen that fill through those little filter looking things, a big metal. Yep. They're going to want to watch you screen out all the spoils. So there's certain things where you might have to have that. We have a utility issue at Serene where the utilities kind of intersected. We have to pay for a special inspector to watch them do the 6 hours worth of work connecting the sewer, because they have to make sure they have to turn the water off in the middle of the night. The crew has to work from midnight to 6 a.m. We have to pay the special inspector to be there during that time to watch them do it and to sign off on it in real time, because we have to turn off water to the street. So we're going to do it at midnight and turn it off, do the valves, make sure all the valves, make sure all the joints are good, because this is controlling the entire street. So if we mess up, if our vendor messes up, the whole street loses water, and for who knows how long, because now you got to turn it off. Now you got to troubleshoot it, find where it is. Because in 10 years, they're not going to remember that we did that little elbow. There's a lot of other elbows maybe in the area. So they're going to have to know that it was done 100% correct. And then
we have to notify the neighbors that we're doing.
We do. Yeah, we do. We usually give them like a 48 hour notice with a little postcard mailer. I think we have to mail it and post it on their house. Mm-hmm. So, and that's, you know, we're already so popular in that area, so I'm sure they're going to love us after that.
A lot of noise and a lot of dust.
Just making a lot of noise and dust.
Values go up once we have beautiful homes in and stuff selling
imagine.
Around them, and they can then cash in on it because we've just raised their home values. But
I hope so. Until then.
They always take the brunt of that.
They do. We're always the bad guy. So those are good examples. Yeah. So let's say, for instance, that was a condition of our building permit. Let's say that we have a large home in South Shore that has spans that are so great that the structural engineer called out structural steel. So we have a massive 4x4 steel pylon that is anchored into the foundation. It goes 24 inches to earth, basically to bedrock, because we've compacted it to more or less bedrock. So it compacts it and it sits down there in a template and it's bolted down like it would be in a high rise. So it's pretty crazy. That requires obviously special inspections or a call out for the steel. So that's really kind of the majority of where you'll see those third party. It's almost always something structural, right? Where they're going to want some sort of sign off. And then another special that you're always going to have would be your pad certs. So your pad elevation and compaction. So did we put it where we said we were going to put it? They come out and we call it shoot our elevations. They shoot it to say it had to be 2,663 feet above sea level. It's 2,363 feet above sea level. They're good to pour. So that's one of the things that, so the third party inspector, I call special inspections third parties, but you're right. Jurisdictional inspections are third party inspections. So the special inspector will shoot the pad for pad elevations. The city inspector will be checking rebar, be checking footer depths, will be checking rough plumbing to make sure all the plumbing that runs to the slab is done correctly, and then you get permission to pour. So that's a great example of a special inspector and a jurisdictional inspector coming together, and those two nuclear keys need to turn before you can pour the slab. And then, beyond the build process, we'll have sometimes special inspectors special inspections for Energy Star, air tightness, so like duct blower. So they'll kind of mask everything off and make sure that not too much air is escaping the house. So are there holes in the duct work in the attic? Are the sliding glass doors sealed? Are the windows sealed? And that's called a duct blower test. And that's also a third party special inspection that requires. It's a third party company. Yeah, it's part of the Department of, you know, there's a lot of energy. What?
Department of Energy?
No, there's a lot of energy codes. So it's just part of the, you know, yeah, somebody, maybe Department of Energy, lobbied the city to mandate duct blower tests. But ultimately, it's a city code that you have to pass a duct blower test before you can get a certificate of occupancy to make sure the house is tight enough. And now houses are so tight, they have exhaust fans running in the laundry rooms to get, you know, some sort of air movement, because they're so tight now. If you were to, God forbid, have a gas leak or something, it will fill up quickly because the house is hermetically sealed, right? So
there's no ventilation in the attic. They've cut all a lot of that out in new construction,
yeah,
which is a great, you know, I mean, you've got less exchange of controlled
right.
air versus external
right.
air, but at the same time, you've created a cocoon that's a little dangerous if you've got
It can be. And an anecdotal story is I just happened to decide to have my whole HVAC system replaced in my house in the winter because I didn't want to be part of the spring and summer rush with the HVAC companies. And when he was up there, I had natural gas leaking from my furnace into my attic. Now, my house was built in 2004. I didn't build it. So the attic is seepy. It's loose, right? So it was able to, that natural gas is able to kind of escape. But if that were a cocoon insulation, I don't know. It would have, because drywall and insulation is not gas resistant, right? It's heat resistant. So gas can seep through those areas. I mean, it would take a lot, but you'd have to fill the volume of the attic. But it was kind of alarming because I was about 3 weeks into the heating season, right? So my furnace had been running for about 3 weeks. Usually in Las Vegas, it only kind of kicks on at night. But it was a little scary. Yeah, like, ooh, okay.
Carbon monoxide detector might have picked it up though.
It would, and I would probably smell the natural gas. But what if I weren't home? What if?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not.
It's so slow, you know, kind of the frog in boiling water, right? If it's so
exactly.
slow, you just notice it. You're just, you know, taking it in because it's, you know, slow seep.
Right. Exactly. Just nose blind to it or something. Yeah. It's just So, just interesting how important this kind of stuff is. But,
it's
weather
control too. So, for instance, I had I just did an inspection and they found that the vent fan out of the laundry room wasn't connected to the exterior port. So whenever that home was built, when it's a resale, so whenever it was built years ago, the builder just didn't ever connect that. Well, we live in Las Vegas. There's never been a condensation issue. It's plenty warm. Everything evaporates. But you take that so home, they've saved conditions to, you know, East Coast where it's moist and it's humid and there isn't any escape for that. It's a really different climate. That could be created.
Right. It is. Yeah. It's in some ways it's forgiving, right? Because in other ways not, right? So we don't really have to worry about moisture here because it's so forgiving. It dries out even if there is something. Florida, different story. I mean, given enough time, I'm sure every house has mold, right? So yeah, these things are important. There's just a good anecdotal thing to say, you know, there's sometimes a downside to having everything so tight and sealed off, so. So those are our main special inspections. We don't do Energy Star at, you know, in our company. That's not something that I value. I know we build a tight home. We do great insulation. We do great duct work. We do SEER 16 HVAC, and our windows are low E. And I don't need Energy Star to come in and say, yeah, you did everything right for another fee. And it's something that the Energy Star looks really good on a production builder's model home, right? But we don't have, that's not going to give our homes any more value to tell us that we built a great home when we already know we built a good home. So, but that's another example. Almost everywhere. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, it is. Right.
Right. A lot of these big builders can afford to do that. They pay whatever it is, $5,000 for that certification, because they're going to kick back somewhere down the road.
Right.
To that same standard or universal standard is very similar in most cases. So
it is. They're not doing anything special, really. Right. 20 years ago, 10 years ago even, that would have mattered more. And that's why you're seeing a lot of builders dropping the Energy Star and the LEED certification, because codes have gotten so robust that it's no longer market driven and it's no longer individual builders saying, this is our edge, this is our competitive advantage. They have to do it. It's part of code. So, and now there's third party inspectors anyway. If you have a duct blower test, that's basically all Energy Star did anyway. They looked at your specs, right? So your model could be Energy Star on spec, and as long as you build to those specs, and then they came in and tested for the air seepage, and that was it. That was quite a racket. And it mattered 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even 20 years ago. So
it matters less, and I think it matters less to buyers.
Yes. So
I think buyers understand that it doesn't really change their energy bill at the end of the month.
No, it doesn't. And it's assumed that when you're buying new construction, you're getting it anyway. So yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it for third party. I personally like having third party inspectors because as a builder, it does shift liability. Not that I'm trying to skirt liability, but it is nice to know that, okay, well, I don't have to make sure my vendor, I mean, obviously we would, but I don't have any way of testing compaction. I don't have a lab. I have all the documentation to say, here's our past inspection. You know, it passed. And that's now on Southwest Geotech or whoever did it, right? Whoever did your structural steel inspections or whatever. So, and honestly,
I mean, even a little deeper than just the liability, because obviously that's a big piece of it, but just the second set of eyes. How many times do we do something simple where you've looked at it for so long you just can't see it anymore, and then somebody else comes in and goes, oh, wait, there's, you know.
Hey, did you mean to spell that this way? Yeah, exactly.
In this case, maybe it's, oh, this bolt or this tie-down lag wasn't put in. You know, so it's just verifying that, not that anybody's being sloppy or careless.
No.
But we're all human, and when it's built by human hands in a human environment with other external things, the weather, the timing,
distractions,
distractions, etc., it's always good to have another set of
I agree. Overall, I like it. The third party, I mean, the special inspections, you're pushing off all the liability. The city, you don't really get to push off a ton of liability unless it was something really gross negligence. But it's kind of nice if we have a dispute, I don't like to say that we do, but we have them with our home buyers and our homeowners every now and then because people have different expectations. We can lean on and say, look, city inspectors were in here 15 times. They said it was okay. You saw it when you bought the home. You said it was okay. The engineer said it was okay. We have a home from a few months ago where he's insistent that the HVAC system is not correct. And multiple people have been in there and said, okay, well, the engineer designed it this way. The builder built it this way. The third party, third party inspector signed off on everything, all the duct, everything's right. So, and it's built to industry standards. So unfortunately, I'm not buying you a new HVAC. I'm not re-engineering your HVAC system because
throwing off your nose in the middle of the afternoon.
Exactly.
It's real, right?
That's right. It's not going to, yeah, exactly. So I like having that. It's kind of nice to say, look, I don't fly by the seat of my ass here. I follow plans and I lean on engineers. I lean on Department of Building and Safety. I lean on our special inspectors. I lean on those things and the professions and trades themselves. You know, they are professionals and I lean on those guys as well. So there's very little when they say, is that a good builder? It's really built by an amalgamation of a lot of people and then checked by other people and then signed off, right? So it's kind of, you know, hard to label what makes you a good builder, but so.
Right.
I think that's all I have for you for special inspections and third party inspections.
Oh, I love it. That was great. Yeah, a great little breakdown and
awesome.
An opportunity to understand what exactly that means and who's being planning on every site. We've actually done it. I've actually done the exercise where I went through and Michael and I put together all every inspection that's done on one of our homes from the start to the end. There were, I don't know how many.
It was two pages.
So you get to that finish line and the buyer, now who's just popped in at the last, you know, the 11th hour, they're like, I'd like to pay for an inspection. Okay, but let me just explain to you the process of how we got here. The inspections have been done ongoing. It's not like a resale home that hasn't been looked at for years or codes were different. But on a new home, when somebody wants to bring in an inspector, sometimes I'm like, just save the money.
Right.
It's been inspected far better than any, you know,
any general home inspector that sees, you know, seven houses a day.
Yeah, he's going to pick up a hairline crack in the center that has no bearing on the finish. But,
right. That'd be a good thing to maybe put up on the screen. You could clip in a PDF of that inspection matrix. Yeah, that'd be cool for people to see that, oh, this is at least what we do when we're verifying everything. So
that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll share it on our social platforms too.
Yeah.
And it's on our website. So if you ever wanted to know that, it's one of the references on our website. If you go to the bottom under the resource tab, you can go there and look at that.
Yeah.
And it's got, you know, a place for us as a team to fill in which inspection was done on which date. And so as we get to the end of that, homeowner can now see back and know what we did over time and the journey of their home specifically.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate your insights and
your time.
You
of course.
Guys, appreciate you being here. Hope you learned something, and we will look forward to seeing you next time on Trust the Process podcast. See you then. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Awesome.